The reason we execute a POC is to win a customer towards our product or solution. In the context of a POC, we, as the sales engineers, are looking to secure the technical win. How you get the technical win can be achieved through a POC, and learning the ABCs of how to be successful in one is what we'll be discussing today on this episode of Sales Burrito. So stay tuned.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's time! Welcome to Sales Burrito! Your podcast for today's sales engineers working in technology sales, created by SEs for SEs, with your hosts Enrique Barreto and Dave Siles.
You know, nothing better than starting this podcast as talking about acronyms, POC, POV, ABC.
Yeah, you know, episode three, it's like going back to kindergarten, right? You got to start with your ABCs.
Specifically on a subject that a lot of sales engineers go through. No matter the industry, there is always going to be the acronym of a POC, right? So I'm looking forward to actually work on this episode with you. How are you doing, Dave?
I'm doing great, my friend. You know, it's been one of those quarters where, you know, I think I've been up to my eyeballs in POCs, POVs. Yeah, TCOs,
demos, demos, workshops, you name it. You name it. We need acronym for everything.
We do. I think I need one for EOQ here and overquota.
I like it. Is there one for like make it rain? Like when you're bringing all the money in, like we need to make an acronym for that as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I think we'll have to coin that one here in about 10 days. Is some people's quarters end. Some people's quarters are just starting, I guess, you know. But I think when we're, thinking about, you know, our business is engineers, and really at the end of the day, I mean, our goal as sales engineers is to win the technical win. And, you know, more often than not, a technical win comes through some form of process of evaluation for a customer. And, you know, that takes many different flavors and views. But for the traditional world, you know, that typically boils down to what we would consider a POC or a proof of concept, you know, for the acronym there to be defined out for the audience. You know, and one of the reasons we obviously execute the reason for the POC is to get that technical win. And, you know, one of the things I think, the audience needs to understand is the technical win is not necessarily the end of the deal. And, you know, there's oftentimes, you know, I think the hard fact in our industry is that, you know, many times technical win will happen and the actual business win doesn't, right? I mean, all the technical win really does is gives us the opportunity as an account team to advance the deal to the part of negotiating and the business win.
I actually agree with you 100%. I think that one of the biggest issues that I see, whether it's a POC or anything like that, right? I often seen that sales teams, and I will pick on sales reps or account executives, right? You know, sometimes there'll be a first call. You know, the first call is that this is supposed to be for discovery purposes, right? What is the pain? What are they looking to achieve and whatnot? And inexperienced sales reps and account reps, you know, they'll kind of just start talking PowerPoint presentations and start talking without asking any questions, right? And then at the end of the call, they'll say, well, we do POCs. We would love to do a POC. Not even consulting with the sales engineer on whether or not we should do a POC or not. And I think that one of the things that I want to kind of start focusing on this topic, right, is that, you know, what are some of the things that a sales engineer can do to push back, right, on do we need to do a POC or not, right? One of the things that comes to mind to me, and I want to get your feedback on this, is a success criteria, right? What is the pain? What is it? What are those metrics in, you know, and metrics sometimes are very hard to define, but I see metrics as anything with performance, anything with time, anything with, you know, overutilization of FTEs, right? And how can we fix them? What do you think?
No, absolutely. I mean, you know, the four milestones of a POC are absolutely critical, right? And that first one is to qualify whether or not you should be doing it at all. And, you know, and if you get to the point where you qualify to the point where it's appropriate for the opportunity, you know, defining solid success criteria for that POC is absolutely important, because, you know, when you get to the execute phase, if you don't have it well defined, you're going to have scope creep, or you're going to have, you know, missed expectations and missed results. And if you can't achieve, you know, a good qualification with the definition of a great POC, you'll fail your execution and you'll never get the last milestone, which is close the deal, or at least close the technical win.
Well, and to your point, right? You know, some sales engineers, I've seen this in the past, where they'll come to me and say, Hey boss, I finished a POC. And I'm like, okay, well, what's the outcome? Well, they liked our product. That's not enough. Like they, you know, the champion has to select our solution. Sure, the POC has to show that we meet their needs, and their needs come from the success criteria. And then probably one of the most important, as sales engineers are working on that POC, they're supposed to be building that champion, that technical champion, so that with the success criteria met, that champion can take and be the extension of the arm of the sales engineer to sell the product to the economic buyer.
Yeah, I agree. POC is there obviously to win the business, but POCs are also expensive. And so you're absolutely right. Do you really need to always do a proof of concept? And that's, you know, one of the things that I think is changing in our industry is depending where you're at and what business you're in, you know, there are many different ways to look at it. And sometimes I hear people like interchangeably offer up, you know, a pilot or a trial versus like a POC, and sometimes they're used interchangeably. And, you know, I think we should make it clear up front, you know, and a proof of concept, as we're describing it here on this episode, you know, is a well-documented oiled process that you're in driving control of, right? When I think people say, you know, I'm going to give you a trial and you can POC our product, you know, to me, that's not a trial at all. It's like you going to the car dealership, having all the cars being out there with the keys in them, and then letting you go test drive any one of them, right? There's no salesperson there to kind of walk you through the process, nothing there to make sure any questions, make sure you know how to turn on the radio, make sure you understand how to adjust the seats. Yeah, in a proof of concept, really, you are that salesperson, you're in full control, you don't hand over necessarily the keys and just allow them to go do their own experiment with it. You're giving them a guided path on a set of rails that's going to give them the expectation of those desired results. And yeah, I think, you know, for that fact, you know, one of the problems that's happened in our industry is we offer up the POC. It's almost as kind of the next step in every single selling process. And we need to break that mold, right? Because, you know, they are expensive and you can spend just as much time on a proof of concept that you'll never win as a proof of concept that you will win. And so that opportunity cost is absolutely key, that you have the, you know, proper, you know, give to get ratio with your customer, so that you're giving them the good faith of a proof of concept with the expectation that if I deliver these results, I'm going to get the sale.
Well, that's a great point that you're making, because the way that I see it, right, there's benefits and challenges of a POC. Look, the benefits are very simple, right? It gives sales engineers quality time with the prospect and basically FaceTime, right? You're creating that relationship. It often gives an unfair advantage over the competition. There's some competitors out there that don't want to do a POC, right? So it gives that unfair advantage. So it gives you an upper hand. Clearly, it proves the functionality of the things that are being demonstrated. And the goal is to achieve the technical closure, right? Because at the end of the day, what the customer sees is they have this mantra of seeing is believing, believing is the proof, and the proof wins the business. Now, the challenges with a POC, right, is, to your point, it lengthens the sales cycle. It creates scope creep. It increases complexity. You know, they're sometimes expensive if you have to ship equipment, if you have to do different things and increase that risk on that. Sometimes there might be unexpected results. Sometimes, it moves time away from that sales engineer to move to work on other opportunities, right? And most importantly, it requires the customer commitment to it. That's why, and I know that you've heard me talk about this. That's why sometimes I kind of flip-flop on, are we doing a POC or are we doing a proof of value? And for me, the differences are very subtle, right? A POC for me is, you know, a process to prove that the solutions work on a particular practical application for it, right? A proof of value for me is a deeper dive or like a POC on steroids that shows the prospect what the solutions mean to their organization, right? So we're basically becoming part of their team.
Yeah.
Do you think that I'm right or wrong on that description of both?
No, you're absolutely right. I mean, you know, ripping out any solution or, you know, changing a core component, depending on what you're selling, obviously, to a business can disrupt a customer's business. So, you know, making sure they make the right decision is essential to them. And obviously, if you're going to get to the point where they're making the decision that they need to make a change and you look like you could be the validated solution, you know, they're going to have to prove that out and make sure that they're making that right decision. And, you know, that, you know, the solution is going to be usable and acceptable by them. You know, it aligns to their IT needs and really solves the business requirements they have. And, you know, there's obviously, you know, always the performance testing that comes with it and the technical aspects that, you know, are going to have to be there to check those boxes. But yeah, you know, you're really at the end of the day, you know, you're looking to really help them eliminate those no's in their head so that you can get down to the terms and conditions of the sale. And so, you know, if you've qualified it to that perspective and that's where they're looking for the fit, then, you know, a proof of value, a proof of concept, absolutely the way to look at it. And, you know, it's not something that you need to take lightly because, again, you're going to ask them for a commitment. You're going to put a commitment into it. But it really is that opportunity, that path to securing the deal. You know, I think, you know, other reasons people obviously, you know, say, I'm going to throw you a POC or POV. And it's almost kind of, I think, second nature is, as you brought this up just a minute ago, people typically try to use it as a block against the competitor, right? And, you know, unfortunately, I mean, I think it's a situation where, you know, where in our industry, it just gets used all the time now. But all you're really doing is opening the door to the other competition, right? You should obviously be offering a POC if you've been asked to, you know, to show your proof of value or proof of concept over a competitor, but, you know, just kind of offering it up at the gate to say, hey, look, I'm just going to give this to you so you don't test X, Y, and Z. And you can see we meet your needs. I think you have to be careful with that in our industry, and we overdo that today.
We do a lot. So, and this is why probably to our audience, the best sales engineers in the world listening to this podcast, I want to probably give you the best five tips that you can use as a sales engineer. So when your sales rep or your account executive is saying, hey, let's do a POC, you can push back and say, whoa, 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 put the brake, like the old brakes, like the, you have to stop on this, right? So number one, you do not do a POC if there's a lack of budget, period. If there's no budget, there's no need to it. If they want to see the product work, you know what? I'm sure there's some videos on YouTube. I'm sure that there's stuff that you can do, but there's no need to actually do a POC if there's no lack of budget. Number two, lack of sponsor. I, you know, in every POC document that I create for my sales engineers, at the end of the document, it says, Mr. Customer, you are acknowledging that we have proved the success criteria of our POC. And in good faith, we're going to work towards you guys buying our solution, right? So if there's no sponsor that knows that we're doing this, why do it?
Yeah.
The number three bullet, and real quick, is limited customer commitment, which we talked about that. If the customer is not committed to be part of your weekly calls or your checks or anything like that, why do it? No test plan. If you have no test plan, forget it. This is, you know, it's hard to actually do a POC without a test plan. And then obviously, if we have a competitive disadvantage, what am I missing, Dave, on these five bullets?
You know, I think your bullets are pretty spot on. I mean, you know, right up front, what you just said, though, is absolutely key. I mean, the whole, I want to try your product, you know, question comes out from a customer and that is not the right reason to do a POC, right? I mean, you know, there's many different ways for customers to, you know, want to try your product, you know, or see it again, you know, webinars, demo sessions, you know, sometimes there's trials that you can download, but, you know, just the fact that they want to be curious and play with it for those perspectives, that tire kicking type of event, you know, that's the wrong expectation or reason that I actually ever want to offer up a POC. So, yeah, I think as we think about kind of the process that we go through, again, you know, there's kind of four well-defined, you know, approaches to taking qualification of a POC. And, you know, really it's that focus. You know, are you focusing on the right need? Do they have a business need? Do they have that sponsor? So all those qualification things you just laid out, I think are absolutely key. And yeah, you have to be in that right mindset and have a well-defined plan to do that. And this is where I think, you know, building a proof of concept qualification form, you know, it helps teams, both the sales engineer, the accounting executive, really, you know, have a well-structured process to not only make sure you're checking all the boxes you need to be able to qualify and justify your sales management, you know, why you're going to offer up a proof of concept, but then also, you know, it starts building that form of the social contract with the customer, saying, you know, here's the things you're expecting from us, here's what we're going to deliver, and here's what we're going to expect from you, and kind of have that agreement that gets signed off that really just kind of, you know, gives some tangible aspect to the scope of the deal, the context of the POC, and, you know, the time frame. Because, you know, a POC without a start and end date well defined at the beginning, you know, you're obviously going to have scope creeping in, and you're not going to have the desired state locked in to know that you're going to be able to hit the reverse timeline, like we talked about in our last episode, to really get what you really want at the end of the POC beyond the technical win is that business win.
Well, and on top of the fact that, you know, with the reverse timeline and even understanding the success criteria of a POC, right? Understanding what's the problem, why is that metric a problem, and how to prove it with the product that you're selling, right? There's also 7 other things that I tell my sales engineers to always be asking to further solidify their time, because again, time is our most valuable possession. If we want to win this, 1, you know, what is the goals, right? You know, are they looking to purchase 6 to 9 months? Obviously, understanding the problems, understanding the needs, understanding the competition. And competition doesn't have to be, hey, who are you bringing in or who else are you talking to? Competition is status quo. Understanding what is their status quo, right? Budget, which we talked about, the decision process, as well as the timeline, right? It's it, you know, who makes the decision from this? And then there's another part that is also important past those 7 bullets that I just talked about is, how do you drive the POC process? And a lot of sales engineers forget that they need to define their internal team. Who's going to help them internally within their organization to meet those tough to answer questions that the sales engineer is not going to know, as well as defining the customer team and meeting everybody and all that kind of stuff. So there's a lot of mechanics that happens in a POC, POV that we often forget. And it is important that you have your pre-flight checklist of everything that you need.
Agreed. And you know, I think getting the execution of the POC off and running is something that most people can achieve. I think the hardest part of a proof of concept, honestly, you know, besides managing the timeline expectation, is, you know, is closing the POC, right? I mean, you know, there's almost as much an art to it as there is science to, you know, kind of ending a POC. In a POC must end, right? I mean, a POC that doesn't end is just you giving a customer free hardware that continues to live on and then has to be managed and accounted for at some point down the line. And one of the ways to make sure that, you know, is there is having a great framework in place, right? You're going to, you know, need to affirm upfront, you know, kind of what the success metrics are, what the outcomes are, you know, and by sure you're capturing that again in that form upfront, you know, you have the results that are going to write the story, and you have the facts and figures that you're going to support through, you know, the proof of concept. And then, you know, as you go through kind of, you know, the broadcast phase, you're going to be continuously reaffirming and review sessions throughout the POC that you're meeting the objectives, and that, you know, get the customer to be vocal back to you that you're meeting their success, and get them to affirm that again, you know, throughout the process. And then you obviously clean it up, you know, document the success, you know, close out any loose ends or open tasks that you need to kind of achieve the deliverable that was promised out of the proof of concept, proof of value. And then move for the successful close, which is the technical win, and getting them to affirm in writing that, you know, you've achieved all those goals that you set in the pre-meetings that you were going to achieve with the proof of concept, and then get it to the executive of sponsorship to, you know, move the deal forward for, you know, that business win from the technical win.
And communicating often those success criterias, and communicating, for example, you know, once you're stating the stage as a sales engineer prior and through the POC, communication is key, right? Being able to define, whether it's in an email or in a weekly sync up meeting, hey, this is where we are. This is what we've done with meeting the success criteria, and what times that we meet it, or what efficiency we created, right? as well as setting the deadline for the completion of the POC. I often, to your point, right, I often see a lot of sales engineers that they want to do this perpetual POC because the customer is asking them. Some of the best strategies that I've used as a sales engineer and that I've taught others throughout the industry is, for example, when scope creep happens, the most important thing you need to do is to put that extraneous request in a parking lot. And what I mean by parking lot, make it so that that scope creep is not defining the already defined success criteria that you deliver, right? So they're going to, in a lot of great products out there, what happens in a POC is when you know, the customer is incredulous. And once they see their data, or once they see things working in a better way that they, in a current status quo way, they still don't believe that it's working, even though it's their own data. So they start throwing the kitchen sink to it. Hey, what about this? What about that? What about this? Putting things into a parking lot, saying, hey, let's complete this first. And if we have time, once we meet the success criteria, I can give you a preview of this, or I can spend some time later on this with you. But the idea is to get that success criteria closed as a technical closure, right? And obviously, you know, it's about staying in track with the agreed test plan.
Agreed. Yeah. I mean, that's where you need that POC agreement up front, right? I mean, you know, and the agreement doesn't have to be, you know, a legalized agreement. It really just needs to be very simple. You know, it's going to be the current state of the customer's environment, you know, document out why they're sitting where they're at today, and, you know, have them visualize that future state and, you know, and really what they would want to achieve, post event of the solution being deployed. And you really understand the business imperatives, right? There's obviously some business read, whether it's financial, not meeting their current needs, whatever it may be, understand what the business is trying to achieve and then define that gap, right? And that gap is obviously your opportunity and why you're doing the proof of concept. And then promise them the outcomes of what you can achieve with your proposed solution and scope the time that you need to test that. And then with that, you have the defined success criteria and the technical requirements to go through and run that process. And then, you know, have that timeline, achieve it with, you know, well-defined roles and responsibilities for both you and the customer, and then go through those sequence of events leading to, you know, the key findings that will be delivered. And, you know, obviously, you know, the goal here then is to move the path, you know, forward for, you know, procurement or closure of the deal. And so it, you know, that if you take that process and kind of formalize that agreement out, it leaves nothing for, you know, there's no ambiguity, right? You have something that you can go back and reference. And at times, you know, through proof of concepts, when you have a well-documented plan like this, and I know you've done this, you can go back to the customer and say, this is what we agreed to. This is what we agreed to, right? You know, obviously things will change. You know, customer doesn't have it. Maybe they identify something that, you know, throughout the process, maybe your solution does, you know, five things and they only wanted to test three. And then, you know, in the process of playing with the product, they say, you know what, but we really would love to test this, and they have a valid business reason for it, then fine, expand the scope. But make sure you have a good business reason why you do it. And that's one way to make sure that you stay on track and that you're delivering, you know, the best return on investment for, you know, your time, your energy, and your equipment you're putting into, you know, the proof of concept with the customer.
I'll close it with this. You know, I can tell you that the best thing to do is, you know, always try to avoid a POC. How do you try to avoid a POC? You know, references in your patch. Hey, I just did the same thing with this large organization. They will be willing to talk to you about this, right? That's one. Another thing that I typically do to do POC avoidance is what is called a workshop. A workshop to me is a session where the sales engineer is the trainer. He gets an audience, you know, let's say 3-5 participants, and he almost creates a lab, right? Where you know, participant one does one part of the lab, participant two does another part of the lab, but everybody is engaged into that lab process from installation all the way to production, right? But you're doing it in a controlled manner where it's repeatable. It's your own data sets, it's your own environment, you're building that environment, and that gives them the vision of, hey, if it was that easy to do it in a workshop, it will work wonders in my environment, right? So we talked about references, we talked about the workshop, you know, there's white papers, there's different things. Try to avoid it, right? You will be surprised on how references will help you here. But if you have to do a POC or a POV, know that you have to have your pre-flight list check, you have to have a success criteria, you have to have basically the 7 bullets that I defined to ensure that, yeah, your time is going to be valuable. And then, yes, the customer is engaged and wants to close this thing for sure and buy your product.
Absolutely. So hopefully it gives everybody here a little bit of thought into, you know, the process. And again, you know, it's something that's muscle memory. So as you practice good practices around how you launch and take your process forward with your business and your POCs, POVs, you know, give this a shot, walk through, you know, a well-defined plan and leverage it. We'll link in the show notes for this episode, some reference material that you can leverage in your own opportunities. And you know, we'd love to hear your feedback on, you know, the success you have with valuating your time more effectively through the process. And so, again, this episode drops on a Wednesday, and like every Wednesday, we drop our latest episodes on the favorite podcasting platforms around the world. Also, always available at salesburrito.com. If you have social media, feel free to follow us on Twitter, LinkedIn, or Facebook at salesburrito. And until next time, keep the chips and salsa going and the knowledge flowing.
Wow. Bravo. Have a great day, everyone.
We hope you enjoy the Sales Burrito Show. Be sure to subscribe to catch future episodes wherever you catch your favorite podcast. Follow us on Twitter, LinkedIn, and Facebook at Sales Burrito. Until next time, keep the chips and salsa going and the knowledge flowing.